Thank you all. I would like to call this meeting of the City Council to order at 6:35. Ms. Pum, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Price. Ms. Carr. Mr. Kraft. Mr. Crow's excused. Mr. Glickert. Mr. Sharp. Mayor Welsh.
Here. Thank you very much. We now move on to the approval of the agenda. Does any member of council have any changes or additions to the agenda? Mr. Kraft?
I would just like, under the council discussion session, I would just like to add a brief discussion of council rules and procedures. I will not be asking for a vote.
Thank you. Any other changes or additions to the agenda? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the agenda as amended, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We have one proclamation tonight for National Kids to Parks Day. I'd like to quickly read it. Whereas May 18, 2013 is the third National Kids to Parks Day, organized and launched by the National Park Trust, and whereas National Kids to Parks Day empowers kids and encourages families to get outdoors and visit America's parks, and whereas it is important to introduce a new generation of our nation's parks because of the decline in park attendance over the last decade, and whereas we should encourage children to lead a more active lifestyle to combat the issues of childhood obesity, diabetes, mellitus, hypertension, and hypercholesterolemia, and whereas National Kids to Parks Day is open to all children and adults across the country to encourage a large and diverse group of participants, and whereas National Kids to Parks Day will broaden children's appreciation for nature and the outdoors, now therefore I, Shelley Welsh, the mayor of the City of University City, Missouri, do hereby proclaim University City's participation in National Kids to Parks Day. I urge residents of University to participate in the city's celebration on May 18, 2013 at Millar Park, whereof I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the City of University City to be affixed this 22nd day of April in the year 2013. We now move on to the approval of the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of the April 11th, 2013 City Council study session? Mr. Sharp moves. Is there a second? Ms. Carr seconds. Is there any discussion? Ms. Carr?
No.
Okay. Any discussion? Mr. Price?
Yeah. just one question. On the minutes, E-213, I think I'm on the right, yeah.
I think those would be on the regular minutes, Mr. Price. Are you looking at the regular minutes or the study sessions?
Regular minutes.
Okay, right now we're talking study. Could we finish that discussion first? Is there any discussion of the study session minutes? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of the April 11, 2013 City Council regular session? Mr. Sharp moves. Ms. Carr seconds. Any discussion? Mr. Price?
Yeah, just on E-213. On the call for the question, for the roll call vote, and a two-thirds majority, and then it went back and it stated all in favor of the motion Ms. Carr made, but I couldn't find the motion in the minutes, and maybe I overlooked them, but I couldn't locate that motion.
Mr. Price, I think if you look on page E2-8, it was five pages before that, the first full graph. I believe that was the motion we were that was being voted upon.
Okay, I see. All right.
Okay. Is there any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We now move on to the appointments. Ms. Carr, you have an appointment?
First, I would like to thank Karen St. Clair for her many long years of service to the Park Commission, and it was hard to fill her shoes. I am pleased to say that I am nominating Kathleen Stanley to the Park Commission, replacing Karen St. Clair.
Is there a second? Mr. Sharp seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. I would like to move to appoint Dennis Finnegan to the CALIP Commission to replace Rick Seaman-Selly. Is there a second? Mr. Glickert, is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Sharp, you have an appointment. Could you turn on your mic, please? Thanks.
I move to nominate Harold Williams to replace William Baldwin on the Library Board.
Do we have a second? Mr. Glickert, is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? The ayes have it. We now have a number of swearing-ins. Might I note that Jeffrey Hayes, number 3 on this list, was sworn in earlier today in the city clerk's office. Ms. Angeline Hayes, are you here? Ms. Angeline Hayes, could you please come up, and you will be sworn in to the Human Relations Commission.
Named in the charter for the office I am about to assume.
That I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States.
And the state of Missouri.
And of the state of Missouri.
And the charter and ordinances of University City.
And the charter and ordinances of University City.
And that I will faithfully and conscientiously discharge the duties.
And that I will faithfully and conscientiously discharge the duties
of the office I'm about to assume.
Of the office I'm about to assume.
With impartiality and justice.
With impartiality and justice.
Thank you very much. Now we would like to call Mr. Curtis Tunstall to the podium, if he is here. Mr. Tunstall, thank you very much. Mr. Tunstall is being sworn into the Traffic Commission.
We'll give you a sheet of paper too, so repeat after me. Raise your right hand, please. I, and your name?
I, Curtis Tunstall.
Do solemnly swear that I possess all the qualifications?
Do solemnly swear that I possess all the qualifications?
I'm not subject to any of the disqualifications.
And I'm not subject to any of the disqualifications.
Named in the charter for the office I'm about to assume.
Named in the charter for the office I'm about to assume.
That I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States.
And of the state of Missouri.
And of the state of Missouri.
And the charter and ordinances of University City.
And the charter and ordinances of University City.
That I will faithfully and conscientiously discharge the duties.
And that I will faithfully and conscientiously discharge the duties.
The office I'm about to assume.
Of the office I am about to assume.
With impartiality and justice.
With impartiality and justice.
Thank you very much. Mr. William Person, If you could come to the podium to be sworn into the Board of Appeals. Thank you very much. We now move on to the citizen participation section of our agenda. I'd like to ask those coming up to please give your name and address, limit your comments to 5 minutes, and turn the mic on when you come and off when you leave. At this point, we have only one request to speak, Ms. Elsie Glickert.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Elsie Glickert, 6712 Etzel, and at this time I'm representing the Sutter-Meyer Society and here to invite you, the council people, and everyone in this chamber to our annual membership meeting, which will be held at the Julia Goldstein Center on Kingsland Avenue on Monday, May the 6th. You do not have a city council meeting that evening that I'm aware of, so we expect to see all of you there. We will have a silent auction, and the program is a history of our university city parks, given by Ewald Winker, and of course you know Ewald. He knows everything about our parks, every dandelion that has ever grown in them. And I'm sure you are not aware that one of our parks was actually the rifle range for our police department. But anyhow, for those in the chamber who are not aware of the Sutter-Meyer House, it is the oldest house in University City. It's now 140 years old. And just as a trivia, the founder of University City, E.G. Lewis, was 4 years old when this house was built. So it's been around for a while, and we hope you will all come. Thank you.
Thank you. We have no more requests to speak at this time, so we move on to the city manager's report. Mr. Walker.
Madam Mayor and members of council, the first item under the city manager's report is the conditional use permit application for 8664 Olive Boulevard, Matt Mefford with Tesla Motors. It's for a vehicle repair facility in the industrial commercial district. Staff and the plan commission are recommending approval of the conditional use permit with the conditions which are attached.
Is there a motion to approve?
Mr.
Glickert, Mr. Price seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much, Mr. Walker.
The second item under the city manager's report is information for council dealing with the budget amendment that will be considered as a resolution later on. I have one adjustment under the general fund, item 2, the roof replacement for the pool house. We have requested bids, and we did bid opening this afternoon. That will have to come back to council for approval, but the bids are substantially higher than the initial $125,000 that we were proposing. So I'm requesting that that be changed to $160,000. That will reflect a use of reserves of $1,230,525 on the second page. That number will change. But the roof replacement for the pool house, we've been gradually doing repairs to that over the past few years, but finally it's kind of given up on us. And we're recommending that we transfer the $160,000 from the fund reserves to replace the roof of the pool house.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Glickert?
Is this going to affect pool activity this summer? Or when is this project presumably going to start?
Well, that's one of the reasons why we were asking for consideration of that this evening. We will likely award the contract tomorrow if council approves the budget transfer. There may be a week delay, but we're going to work with a contractor to reduce whatever time they might have to fix this. But part of what we're going to do is the pool will be open, and the pool will be open on time. We may have to cordon off a portion to make some of the dressing rooms and that cut down on the size a little bit for a week or so. But the pool will open on time.
Good, because you know if the pool's not open, I'm in trouble.
Correct. Pool will open on time, as I said. We'll be working with a contractor to ensure that that happens. As I said, there might be some minor inconvenience for a week or so.
Thank you. What kind of a roof is this, Mr. Walker?
Councilmember Carr, I'm not sure. Perhaps it's a stucco. I'm not sure of the materials. It's actually, it's one of those kind of
maybe terracotta tiles. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
Okay, those are expensive. Yes.
The slate roof?
No, slate's usually flat.
Yeah, no, it's the terracotta. I'm not sure of the specific roof material.
That explains it. Thank you very much.
But it's more expensive than we would prefer.
Mr. Price, did you have a question? Okay. If there are no more questions of Mr. Walker, the city manager, we will move on to the next item of our agenda is council reports and business. On reappointments, we have only one reappointment this week. Mr. Kraft has a reappointment of Nancy Bagland to the Urban Forestry Commission. On appointments, Mr. Crow has an appointment to the Calop Commission and to the Board of Appeals, and Mr. Sharp has an appointment to the Historic Preservation Commission. Does any member of council have any reports on any board or commission to which they liaise? Okay, I will just mention that this week I'm not the liaison, but I did go to the Board of Adjustment meeting and heard a discussion of a proposal for a new building on Forsyth. It would have been a combination of two lots. The Board of Adjustment did refuse that request for that new building. I attended the Human Relations Commission to talk about ideas for the commission, and I attended the last few minutes of the Historic Preservation Commission meeting where they did approve unanimously the installation of a temporary roundabout. Okay, board council members do have minutes from the board and commission meetings. They came in your packet. We now move on to other discussion. Mr. Kraft asked to add something to this section. Mr. Kraft.
Thank you. Mayor Welch, I'm speaking tonight because we need to set the record straight. Councilmember Carr has publicly stated that the Bike Walk Task Force violated the city charter. I believe she's wrong. Quoting from the West End Word, quote, at the April 8th council meeting, council member Paulette Carr said Mayor Shelley Welch appointed members to the Bike Pedestrian Task Force, an action, Carr emphasized, that was not approved by the council. She called that a violation of the city's charter since only the council can make those decisions, unquote. This description is consistent with my memory, the audio recording of the meeting, and the minutes of that meeting, although I am open to correction. To quote again from the minutes of the April 8th meeting, which we just approved a few minutes ago, quote, the mayor's charges were not completely in accord with the city charter. City council is responsible for making policy, not police or staff. Ms. Carr further states the city council makes policy and the staff was responsible for executing the details, end quote. I will return later to the idea that staff just handles the details. First, I will look at the bike walk task force. Specifically, did the bike walk task force violate the charter by, quote, making policy, unquote, or in fact in any other way? First, some facts. One, Mayor Welch created the Bike Walk Task Force on October 4, 2010. Under council rules at that time, the mayor had the authority to create a task force. Two, the mayor did not unilaterally appoint the members of the task force. Each council member had two appointments to the task force. So far, I find no charter violation. Let's review the charges to the task force. There were six. One, conduct a survey of streets in the city. Doesn't sound like making policy to me. Two, become familiar with policies relating to foot and bike traffic by other entities, such as the state of Missouri and St. Louis County. Looking at other policies, nothing about making policy. Three, produce a report of actions you city should take to make local streets more bike and walk friendly. Sounds like a request for recommendations. Asking for recommendations is hardly a violation of the charter. We routinely ask our citizens to speak at meetings and elsewhere and tell us what they want. Four, research the complete streets approach and make recommendations. Five, offer suggestions and ideas on how to educate residents about bike and walk safety. Six, recommend how you city should connect to national efforts. Well, the last three sound like a request for recommendations too. So, in summary, the task force was asked to review the topic and make recommendations. I am sure that no one is suggesting that our citizens cannot make recommendations. So again, I see no charter violation. The mayor was above board with the process. The task force was discussed at least at three meetings in 2010 with no objections.
Point of order.
The bike walk task...
What is your point of order?
Point of order is that the discussion was to be about council rules, and this appears to be about our discussion before. I'm uncomfortable with the fact that we're not discussing council rules right now, and we're discussing something else.
I would rule that Mr. Kraft can continue if the council would like to overturn that. I think Mr. Kraft, we have time, and I think Mr. Kraft should be able to continue.
Thank you. As I said, in summary, I so far see no charter violation. The mayor was above board in the process. The council rules at the time, as I've discussed, said that she could appoint the task force. The task force was discussed in at least three meetings in 2010 council meetings. The Bike Walk Task Force has presented their report at the Plan Commission three times, the Park Commission, the Urban Forestry Commission, the Traffic Commission, the Green Practices Commission, and a City Council study session. Various issues were discussed. However, the charge that the Bike Walk Task Force violated the city charter was never an issue until it was first stated by Councilmember Carr at the April 8, 2013 meeting. In parallel, Youth City received a grant from TrailNet in January of 2011 to do a study and create a plan on walking and biking in University City. H3 was hired to guide the process, and a bike walk plan was developed. As directed by the charter, this plan was then presented to the Plan Commission. Let's just do a brief review of the charter, since not all of us have as sharp a memories as Elsie about the details of the charter. I will actually read portions of the charter. Community Development 2.18.030. The Department of Community Development shall have the responsibility to advise the City Plan Commission in all matters within their respective areas of concern and to provide all necessary staff assistance. Pretty straightforward. The Plan Commission, Section 62, Powers and Duties. The Plan Commission shall have the authority to prepare and submit to the Council for its approval a master plan for the physical development of the city, and shall recommend such modifications for said plan from time to time as it deems in the city's interest. Unquote. I don't see a charter violation. The Community Development Department and the Plan Commission followed the charter and have come up with a recommendation to modify the master plan. There is no requirement that council request a modification. The charter gives the Plan Commission the plan to act, quote, from time to time as it deems in the city's interest, unquote. The Plan Commission voted to recommend the bike walk plan as a modification to the master plan. Again, I see no charter violation in the creation of the bike walk plan. So, as far as I'm concerned, amen to that issue. But there is really a larger issue clearly related to council procedure and rules that I will briefly address. Who makes policy? Ms. Carr states, quote, "The city council makes policy and the staff was responsible for executing the details." Unquote. Well, I actually read the charter, and the charter does not explicitly give council the authority to make policy. I mean, I looked. Article 2, Section 17, 22 enumerated powers. No mention anywhere of policy. Yes, taxes and expenditures can be construed as policy. However, it would be somewhat reckless to suggest that council has the sole authority to make policy. For example, and there's many examples, Article 2, Section 19 says, quote, "The city manager shall be the chief administrative officer of the city and shall be responsible for the proper administration of all the city's affairs," unquote. All the city's affairs is pretty broad. The city manager has sole authority over hiring and firing of personnel. And, to borrow a quote from the Reagan administration, personnel is policy. Perhaps it would be more accurate to say that council has some policy-making authority, while the city manager also has significant, the city manager and staff have significant policy authority. I would see this as a collaborative effort. Clearly, council does not set police policy on matters such as how many police will be in the loop on a specific Saturday night. We have a competent police chief. The chief can make those kind of policy decisions. Recently, our IT people suggested a policy change related to fax machines, or more specifically, to discontinue the use of fax machines and send faxes via computers. Our Public Works Department has policies that describe the standards for curb, street, and sidewalk contracts. Council has no expertise in this area. Our accounting policies are governed by the Accounting Standards Board. Employee policies related to medical issues are guided by federal HIPAA legislation. And federal and state laws govern employee policies related to income tax withholding. Perhaps the real problem I see is that Ms. Carr has made her definition of policy overly broad. She seemed to be saying that the bike walk plan should not come to council at all because council had not set a policy that asked for the plan. To me, that is a misreading of the charter. The plan commission has the authority to send a master plan modification to council, and I quote from the charter, from time to time, as it deems in the city's interest, unquote. The plan commission can initiate the change without the direction of council. Now, council can vote yes or no on the plan. In fact, council should vote yes or no on the plan. So to summarize, any suggestion that the bike walk task force violated the charter is wrong, wrong, wrong. The bike walk plan was put together in accordance with the city charter. A lot of work has gone into the plan, and it is council's responsibility, eventually, soon, to vote on the plan in a timely manner. Thank you.
Ms. Carr?
Again, I object. Evidently, Mr. Kraft had this planned long enough to write it out. I don't have a chance to check much, but I can tell you this. I can tell you that the bike walk task force put together by the mayor did a fine job. There were a couple of problems. The problems were that first they brought an ordinance to us, an ordinance that essentially asked us to abdicate our responsibility to make policy. I disagree with Mr. Kraft that the council is not responsible for policy. I not only disagree, I believe that he is wrong. Those particular listings, and I'm not sure that I have time to read them off, but it deals with taxation, public services, public improvements. Those are the streets, those are the stripings, those are the signs. Adoption of standard codes. That's what your street will look like and when it will be repaired and replaced. This is expenditures generally, issuance of bonds, condemnation of property, ownership of property, acquisition, maintenance, etc., of public buildings, etc., collection and disposal of sewage, weights and measures, regulation of buildings. I'm only on number 13. Streets, sidewalks, sewers, etc., generally. Railroad crossings, surplus city funds, city limits, suppression of nuisances, enforcement of ordinances, licenses, taxation, regulation of businesses, same, compelling attendance of witnesses. This sounds to me, these are the 20-some powers of council. Now, under the powers and duties of the city manager, shall be the chief administrative officer of the city and shall be responsible to the council for the proper administration of all the city's affairs. To that end, he shall have the power and shall be required to city officers and employee appoint and when necessary for the good of the service remove all officers and employees. Prepare the budget annually and submit to the council and be responsible for its administration after the adoption. The major policy document of this city is the budget. We make the final decision by our vote. And he, and in some cases she, is responsible for its administration. Prepare and submit to the council as of the end of the fiscal year, a complete report on the finances, administrative activities of the city, preceding year, et cetera, et cetera. There is nothing on here that talks about taxation, streets, roads. Those are all our responsibility. Granted, we make most of those decisions in the course of passing the budget, and that is why it is so important that we actually take the budget apart and look at it. Insofar as the bicycle and pedestrian plan that was a draft plan that was submitted, my objections were as much to the content as to the fact that it was being brought the way that it was. The biggest problem is not that I say that it didn't that there are parts of it that didn't follow our charter, but the biggest problem was the fact that the subdivisions through which paths were being routed had no say. University Park trustees didn't know, even though Ms. Raganti did send them a letter, didn't understand what that letter said until I called them on Thursday after talking to the trustees of the Heights. They did not realize that this public hearing had any significance for them, and that is unforgivable. Somehow, during that 18-month process, they should have been consulted. At least one might have been considered as a stakeholder. So that's an even bigger problem, in my opinion. So in terms of who makes the decisions for grants, may I ask Mr. Walker, when the grant was brought to the city for the bicycle plan, was that submitted in the form of a resolution and passed by council?
Madam Mayor, through the Councilmember Carr, I'm going to have to verify that, but I don't think it was. But
okay, thank you very much. Normally, if you look back at all the other grants that we have accepted, including from the Muni Park, most of you will know that that is accepted in the form of a resolution. Again, giving that proverbial stamp of approval from the council. It's not so hard to get a stamp of approval from the council. And oh, by the way, what I was doing on October 4th when these were formed, maybe some of you will remember that former council member Lynn Ritchie had just taken Social Security numbers of all the employees and transferred them from a Secure City computer to a Gmail account. So no, I wasn't focused on the task forces, and quite frankly, I believed that whatever happened in those task forces was going to be handled by the council. The council was going to be given the option to approve it. How the appointments were made is in a sense irrelevant. If Mr. Sharp made two appointments and Mr. Price made two appointments and Mr. Kraft made two appointments, that's fine. That means that somehow the mayor, I think if you look at the minutes, it actually says that the mayor formed this task force and requested that the council members submit their nominees. It didn't say that there was any approval of that. And in fact, I don't know that the council ever asked, but how different is this from the logo or from turning off the lights? If you want to point to me as the former watchdog or the watchdog, I'd probably like to say that that I have to agree with President Obama. Elections have consequences. I'm doing exactly what I was elected to do, and that's remind us to comply with the charter. There's no punishment here. There's no hanging anyone by their thumbs, but there is saying that this plan in toto and the ordinance brought to us before did not comply with our charter, and we needed to take another look at it. And I deeply regret, Madam Mayor, that this council was not informed prior to Mr. Kraft sitting down and saying that he wanted to talk about council rules. This was a real stretch about council rules. It was more about whether council member Paulette Carr was right or wrong. That's a decision that you'll have to make. But the will of the council was to send the plan back and to have the plan commission take a look at it. Now, the plan commission does, by charter, have the right to put together plans from time to time. That does not supersede the final authority of the council.
I would like to say a few things before I move on. I don't believe that it is correct to bring former Councilmember Lynn Ritchie in here and accuse her of moving all of the Social Security numbers from City Hall off-site. I don't think that has ever been proven, and it's been repeated a number of times, but it has not been proven, and I don't think we should be doing that from this council. I will just reiterate, I had the authority under the rules of order and procedure in place in 2010 to appoint the task force, period. Mm-hmm. I had the authority. I don't want us to forget that. I want us to remember that the task force recommended that the city consider a complete streets ordinance. The task force did not bring that to us. The task force talked to staff, and staff brought it to council. That is the way ordinances come to council, from staff. That is totally appropriate. I would remind everyone that the draft plan is just that. It is a plan. I hope everyone who was here last time or who is here tonight will ask to see the staff's memo that responds to all of the questions that came up at our last meeting. It details this is just a plan. There is no one is going to put a trail, a public trail, through a private subdivision without the approval of a private subdivision. This is a 20 or 25 year plan. I will say again, as I did last time, this plan never came to council. Five members of this council voted to send it back to the Plan Commission, but it never came to us from the Plan Commission, which I believe is why Mr. Glickert and I voted against the motion last week. And finally, I am not sure what the lights or logos are doing in this discussion. Mr. Price.
Well, just a brief comment. Just for my clarification and my experience on the council, you know, our budgetary actions do determine policy. So if we don't budget to fully staff the police, we have determined policy on what the chief can do, whether he can send two police officers in zone one or none. If we decide we want to allocate 80% of the street budget for bicycle trails, then that means we've decided a policy that we won't fix potholes. So we have to be clear, when we decide budget actions, and for me, this is not a complicated issue. For me, it's a budgetary issue. If we're not fixing the regular streets, then I'm hesitant to take money from streets that don't get repaired today, that you driving your car on, that got potholes, cracks. And then I take that money and say, well, I want a bike trail versus fix the potholes. I've made a policy decision. So for me, it's really simple. It comes to me, I either decide whether I'm approve this or not approve this. So this came forward and it didn't go anywhere, so it got sent back. Now we can do all this other stuff, but bottom line is, it comes here, it either gonna get four votes or three. If it don't get four yays, it don't move forward. So everything else is just hyperbole, just talk. If it don't get four yays, it don't move. And right now, it didn't get four yays. It got sent back. So really, right now, this is a mute issue because it's not here.
Mr. Kraft.
Right, thank you. I would just like to suggest a couple of things. I actually did a linguistic review of the word policy. And the word policy is not a tightly defined concept. It's a highly flexible one used in different ways on different occasions. And it's actually a dangerous word because you can call if you decide that city council has control over all policies, and it's a kind of a squishy term to begin with, then city council has unlimited authority. So you can define policy kind of all kinds of ways. So I think the people who wrote the charter were very wise not to use the word policy, and instead used very specific terms like budget authority, like weights and measures, zoning authority. So they were given very specific terms. So I think that the idea that council has control over policy, I mean, it's so broad, I think we ought to look at the charter and see what council has control over. And budget, okay, then we'll do budget. And do the stuff that we know we have the power over, rather than deciding that, or asserting publicly that, you know, somehow this bike walk commission was a violation of policy because council didn't come up with it. So, any suggestion, just to summarize, any suggestion that the bike walk task force violated the city charter is just wrong. And I'm not here to discuss the merits, plus or minus, good or bad, about the plan itself. There will be a time for that. The bike walk plan was put together in accordance with the city charter, period. A lot of work has gone into the plan, and it's really council's responsibility to not just send it back without voting on it. It's council's responsibility to vote on it.
Mr. Price?
Yeah, just a policy, because you make a policy decision on who gets to talk the longest. So can I get as much time as Mr. Kraft when I want to talk for 15 minutes?
Well, Mr.
Price, I'm asking this.
I have given you that time in the past, and I'm sure I'll give it to you.
I always get called out of order. So I just want to be clear on the policy. It says one person could talk longer than me. Because that is a policy.
Are you asking me a question?
Asking you a policy question.
Mr. Price, I have given you very lengthy time to speak at other meetings, and I'm sure I will give you that time in the future. I do not try to limit any member of council when they are speaking in this kind of discussion.
But my question was, do I get as much time as Mr. Kraft?
If you need as much time as Mr. Kraft and have something to say, go for it.
Okay.
Mr. Kraft spoke just under 10 minutes.
I'm going to go listen. That's what you say.
You're going to go less?
I'm going to listen to the audio.
Okay. If I push the button right, that's about what I had. Ms. Carr?
I would like to say that I do not believe that the mayor's task force on bike and walkability is against the charter. What I expressed was that the ordinance brought forward was a violation of our charter because several things were listed. Most of those were giving away the decision-making responsibility, the decision-making powers of the council to either Mr. Wilson, the head of Public Works, or to others. I also said that the plan, as I read it, the draft plan over which I labored for weeks to try to understand what it would mean to us financially, also violated the charter. I do not believe that the task force violated the charter. There's nothing in it about whether we can have committees or not committees. That is addressed only in the council rules. I did not say that the task force violated the council rules. Now, is it the case that one member of council can appoint a committee without the say-so of the rest of the council, which acts as the governing body? We made that case earlier when we went through the council rules and decided as a body that the council must always approve the formation of new committees. What happened before, I am not being critical of your ability to establish a task force and to ask others to appoint. What I am being critical of is that when those charges were made, when those jobs were given out, when those ideals were set forth, they were not brought back and discussed with the council. Nobody asked the council, how do you guys feel about complete livable streets? I would like to compare that with what happened with the Green Practices Committee. When Mayor Adams came back from his conference and decided that he wanted to make University City a sustainable community, he brought that to the council in the form of a resolution. The council passed it and established the Committee on Green Practices. It's slightly different. I think that all three committees established as task forces did a fabulous job. They produced reports. Where I draw the line is that how did it go from producing a report to actually bringing forth legislation? Because I don't believe that is the purview of a task force that has not been approved by the council. And just for the record, Mayor Welsh, I have all of the emails that were transferred by Ms. Ritchie, not supplied to me by Ms. Ritchie and Ms. Pum, supplied otherwise. And there was indeed a transfer because this council chose not to follow up on it. I chose not to do anything about it. Is that proof? I don't know. Perhaps I can stick them out there, but I can definitely tell you that I invested a good deal of my time questioning Councilmember Kraft about what he knew, and would he please look into this? Would somebody please look into this? And all I got were offhand comments. That was a serious, serious charge. And if you don't think that the rest of the University City community cared about what happened and were not appalled, then you can take responsibility for having me sit here. I'm sitting here as a reaction to some of the behaviors that went on here. Thank you.
I would just close by reminding us again that the task force did not bring legislation to this council. The task force made a recommendation. It was staff that brought legislation to this council, and the staff is fully enabled to bring legislation. That is what the city manager does. And on behalf of our Public Works Department, I would just like to say I've been getting lots of calls saying we are fixing potholes and curbs and streets, and I hope that members of council, if they are getting complaints about that, will make sure Mr. Walker gets the complaints, because I will be honest, I'm getting complaints from people who say their streets are in better shape and being cleaned more regularly than they have been for years. So please, if we know of problems, please let Mr. Walker know. Mr. Sharp.
Mr. Walker, the money needed for the roof did not need our approval. You were just informing us of that. Is that correct?
There's a resolution that council will be dealing with for the budget amendment. It will require council approval, yes.
That will come this evening, however.
Yeah, under new business.
That's the budget transfer that will come up in just a minute. We do have one request to speak from a Ms. Carol Wolfsey.
Oh, I got it on. Carol Wofsey, 7171 Kingsbury. I just want to say for the record, as a citizen of University City, that I am very disturbed that any council person would state publicly that a citizen group cannot suggest or request legislation from either staff or from the council. Any citizen group can do that. Any citizen can do that. Any resident can do that. That is the most anti-democratic thing I have ever heard in this council chamber. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any more discussion? Hearing none, we will move on to, we have no unfinished business this evening. On new business, we have Resolution 2013-5, the fiscal year 2012 to 2013 Budget Amendment Number 2. This is the amendment that Mr. Walker spoke about earlier. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Mr. Sharp, is there a second? Mr. Price, is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed? The ayes have it. One more request to speak from Ms. Elsie Glickert.
Elsie Glickert, 6712 Etzel. Thank you, Madam Mayor. About the pool roof, that's a lot of money for a roof. I'm assuming it's a slate roof. I honestly have never been on the roof. I've been in the pool 100,000 times, but never on the roof. But I would plead that the tower remain aesthetically the same as it is. That's red tile, and it's a Spanish motif. I'm assuming that that would be a slate roof, because that's a lot of money for a roof. But do not change the aesthetics. And the only thing that shows from the land, the ground, is the tower, a cupola or whatever it's called. But that's not why I'm here. Earlier this evening, you issued a conditional use permit. Conditional use permits have been given over the years, and I'm very concerned about them. Because I think after a while, the inspection of a conditional use permit falls between the cracks. I have in my neighborhood a conditional use permit for a service station. Gosh, it's been at least 20 years since it was issued. Total violation. Year after year after year. I don't know that it's ever been brought to court. I certainly have not followed up, but the neighbors have referred it over the years, you know, different administration. But it's time, I think, maybe for the staff to study conditional use permits. Maybe they should not be given a life term. Maybe they should be given 5 years or something and then reinspected. And if they are in violation, then it should not be reissued. It should not be a conditional use permit. Which brings me up to the housing court. You know, when we established codes, building codes and housing codes and so forth in the late 60s and 70s, it was tied into housing court. And housing court was held at night. Thursday night was housing court every week. Somehow in the 80s, that diminished to 2 hours once a month. That is wrong. This is budget time, and you should consider urging the administration to return to housing court one night a week. That's the only way we can conserve our community. It is wrong to bring people, even though they are the violators, take them off of their job to come to housing court during the day. Staff is here to serve the residents, not vice versa. I'm sure that they would come to housing court as we did many, many years prior to the 80s. 2 hours once a month is not sufficient to keep our codes. Now, the other thing that I'm concerned about, and this concerns, I'm sure, the second and third ward more so than the first ward, are the stickers that are being applied to the front of vacant houses. Now, I've been told that this is a national policy. I don't care about national policy. I care about University City. To me, a vacant house with a big orange sticker on the front is a big invitation to crime. It's not crime prevention, it's crime invitation. Hey guys, this is a vacant house, come on in and strip it. Now the other thing is we put a sticker on a vacant house because we want people to come for an occupancy permit. We don't need a sticker on the front of the house. We've had occupancy permits since the 60s. It used to be that there was a cooperation between the housing department and the police department. If the police saw the people moving in at night or on the weekends, they would stop and very courteously ask if they had an occupancy permit. If they did not have an occupancy permit, they were referred to the housing department. I would like to see that reinstated. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Walker?
Madam Mayor, members of council, it's not normal that we respond to members of the public when they speak, but for information purposes, and I was going to advise council of this later, we are actually looking at some of the points that Mrs. Glickert is raising. One, we are going to be changing the hours of housing court to evening, likely starting the beginning of July. We're still working on a schedule to do that, but we are going to be changing the hours of housing court, and we're also going to be relocating housing court from this building to Hema Community Center. But I'll report later on those two things, but just so that Mrs. Glickert knows, we are actually moving and in agreement on some of the suggestions she has made.
Thank you, Mr. Walker. We now move on to council comments. Does any member of council have a comment he or she would like to make? Mr. Price?
Yeah, just briefly. Miss doing this at the last meeting, but like to for Mr. Walker to pass on to Chief Adams, Captain Jackson, and Ransom for a job well done on the police meetings throughout the city. I mean, very informative, very professional. And we have one of the best police departments, bar none, in this country. So I want you to pass that on. The second thing is that Mr. Sharp and myself are working on doing a, and anybody can come, but a ward meeting that's going to relate to preparedness because of with this uncertainty of this weather, just in case we get affected, that people know what to do in advance. So I've been thinking more and more about certain things, because a couple of years ago, our electricity went out for a week, and my wife said we weren't going anywhere, but after I had 10 pair of pants on, 8 coats, we couldn't stay in the house. We left. Then we got hit in the summertime when the electricity went out, when it was like 100 degrees, and the same thing happened. Our power didn't come back on for us. I know it may have been another week. So just to let people know what they can do, what resources they can tap into, and how to be a little bit prepared based on these uncertain times with this weather today than what it's been before, because it's very unpredictable. So more news to come on that. We working on a date on that, and then we'll start letting people know about it.
Mr. Price, could I ask, you had asked a number of meetings ago for Mr. Walker to look at setting up a citywide effort to discuss preparedness measures. Is this separate from that, or would this be part of that?
Well, this is just something we're going to go ahead and do now. And then, you know, the citywide effort is still on, because I talked to the city manager about that. So I know he's working logistically on that, but this is just something that we will probably do on a smaller scale.
Okay, thank you very much. Mrs. Carr?
I would like to remind people that the police focus group meeting is tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. The weather's nice, so things begin to start happening again. And for those people that have not set up a neighborhood watch or have an old one, it's not a bad idea to set it up now before people get active. And also, this weekend is the weekend of the UCity in Bloom plant sale, and the weather hasn't warmed up too much. There's lots of good plants out there. Saturday and Sunday at Heman Park Community Center, and I hope that you'll come, but not before I get my favorite plant. Thanks.
Mr. Kraft?
Very briefly, I attended the ceremony where Gerald Early was inducted into the St. Louis Walk of Fame. Professor Early is an outstanding individual, and the Walk of Fame does itself pride by including him. He's one of the rare academics who has crossed over into the popular culture. I read one of his early books years ago, Tuxedo Junction, and he's become well-known on the PBS series as an expert on topics as diverse as baseball and jazz. So his star will be added, physically won't be added for a while because they're going to be redoing the sidewalk on Del Mar, but it will be there, and it's a real honor to have him as part of the Walk of Fame.
Mr. Glickert.
Well, finally tonight I decided to pull this sign that has been at the corner of Loop North and Kingsland, and if you can't read it, it has to do with an egg hunt, March 23rd. So I'm going to really put it to you, Mr. City Manager. I see this sign in Loop North and Kingsland, but I see signs everywhere in our community that have to do with free car wash, I'll buy your house, window cleaning. I don't see that in Clayton. I don't see it in Ladue, and I don't want to see it in University City. So tomorrow when you have your meeting, could you get together with Public Works or the police? And when we see these signs in the public thoroughfare, to get them out of there. Thank you.
A few things I will say relating to what Mr. Price said. Captain Jackson did do a home security audit at my home, and I would remind all residents of the UCity community that the city does home security audits for free. It's well worthwhile to have that done. This Friday, April 26th at 10 a.m., there will be the ribbon cutting for a new section of the Centennial Greenway. The event will kick off in Shaw Park in Clayton, where that stretch of the Greenway starts. And that stretch does go up on the border of University City right along I-170, so I encourage people who care about that to come. I do have a TDD board meeting, Loop Trolley board meeting, this Friday at 3 p.m., and I concur with Mr. Kraft on Gerald Early. I serve with him on the Missouri Humanities Council board, but I believe we are probably going to lose him because I believe he's going to become a board member of the National Endowment for the Humanities, and it's nice to have that connection with UCity. If there are no other comments, we will adjourn this meeting at 7:43. Thank you all for coming.